Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I just, first of all, love the worship themes today. He is holy. And just how amazing and holy he is just blows my mind every morning. No matter what we go through or what we do, we know that he is holy and he is faithful and he is there. But sometimes we get into a place of where we're like ready, set, wait. And when we have that ready, set, wait, we're like, oh, we get a little frustrated. And then sometimes when things happen, life, we start getting a little bit out of focus. And hopefully today's sermon will talk a little bit about how to get back into focus, especially in the time we're in right now. We're all waiting. We're all trying to hear. We're all trying to get back into focus as a community, as a family, as ones that are crazy about God. So one of the perplexing mysteries of life is the problem of suffering and pain. The thing is that we're all going to face it. In one way or another, in the course of our lives, we're going to deal with it. We also see that some people deal with it more and more, and some people deal with less and less. Some are like waves, and some have long periods of nothing happening at all. And a lot of times that doesn't make sense to us, especially if we're one of the ones that keep getting pounded by waves. That just doesn't make sense. You may be right now be going through a physical trial, a trial of loss, or a trial of relationship, or even job related. Pain is something that is a reality in our lives, and it's difficult. It tends to lead us to judgments, disbeliefs, and questionings. Then out of that frustration, we start to become unfocused. What the worldview says about suffering is plain and simple. It starts from the premise that there is no God. Suffering just happens. Pain is just part of life. Deal with it. You just have to overcome it. Because this is all we get. Christian view says we view suffering and see beyond it. The Christian looks beyond and sees a God at work in the circumstances in their lives. It's the confidence in that work that leads us to endure. In today's scripture, I'm about to read a message from Paul, and Paul is writing through his pain. A message that should touch us deeply, that we can't help but get back into focus and see what is hidden in plain sight. So if you guys would turn with me in your Bibles or electronic devices to 2 Corinthians 4. And I'm going to read the whole thing because it's very pertinent of where we're at right now. So if someone can yell amen when they're there. Okay. Also, something that, you know, if I preach before, you guys know, I believe the reading of the word deserves us to stand up. And so I would ask you all to please stand up if you're able as I read the word. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For he who lives are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus, and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding externally weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Please sit down. Thank you. So it took 6 years of work, but scientists at a jet propulsion laboratory have created the world's most sensitive telescope. Imagine an astronaut standing on the moon 250,000 miles away and smiling for the camera. This telescope says the scientists could see the person on the moon wiggling their little pinky. Such an instrument requires a vacuum-sealed chamber and the ability to focus with the 1/10 of the width of a hydrogen atom. In plain terms, that's about 1/1,000,000 of the width of the thickest human hair. The purpose of this amazing telescope, called the micro-arc-second, is to search and tell movement on Earth-sized planets. But whether you're trying to find a planet that's trillions of miles from Earth, or simply trying to read the morning newspaper, the benefits of fine-tuning your focus are obvious. You might put on a pair of glasses to help you bring the morning paper into focus a little bit better. You might put in contacts to bring into focus you're able to drive a little bit better. And if you're a scientist, you might have your microscope tune in a little bit closer so you can get a better picture of what you're trying to look at. And spiritually, a little fine-tuning can bring a host of answers into sharp focus very quickly. When Paul wrote this to the church of Corinth, he took a moment to reflect on his own life and ministry. It had been a very difficult journey, to say the least. Paul had battled unbelievers who fought the gospel message, health and aging challenges, great persecution, and constant wear and tear that left him wasting away. At the very beginning of chapter 4, and near the end of it, Paul writes, "We do not lose heart." But what a battle it has been to not lose heart. The only way Paul had managed to keep fighting was to sharpen his focus every day. Therefore, we do not lose heart, Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. For we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul says this, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. It was important for Paul to know that the fine-tuning of his faith would be a daily process. It's critically important to realize that Paul had no intention of being saved day by day. His salvation had been settled outside of Damascus gate as soon as he recognized Jesus as Lord. Ever since that day, he has been in the process of discipleship, growing slowly and steadily with his study of Scripture, his questions of more mature believers, and his own experience of sharing his story. In this chapter alone, he mentions the work, renouncing the secret and shameful ways, fighting deception and distortion, preaching for God's glory and not his own, and becoming a light in his culture's darkness. In other writings, Paul confesses his ongoing battle with temptations in Romans 7, his loneliness in 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 13, and his failing health in 2 Corinthians 4, 16. For Paul, all of it was fine-tuning process happening every day. See, we see racing teams on the NASCAR circuits have precision-laced pit crews. You know, they change tires, refuel the cars, make tiny adjustments in less than 15 seconds multiple times a day or a race. During the race, the goal would never be to rebuild or replace the engine, but rather to fine-tune the car. To rebuild during the race is to commit to losing the race. Piano tuners don't have to rebuild the shell of the instrument to make great music. Instead, they just take painstakingly trouble to return each note to its ultimate sound. Periodic updates on your computer won't recreate your hard drive. Instead, they just add or change minute portions of your existing computer program on a regular basis. And of course, a pilot doesn't attach new wings during flight. Instead, the course corrections are made very small and safe increments. In all cases, fine-tuning deals with what is already there. The good news for someone dissatisfied with his or her own faith experience, you don't have to rebuild your entire faith or get saved again in order to find a sharper focus. You and I are in a race. Though Paul's racing analogy in Philippians 3, 13 and 14 and 2 Timothy probably weren't those that would include a NASCAR pit crew. But perhaps the pit crew analogy works best for right now. You're surrounded by a team to help with the daily fine-tuning, and the technology of our day means that we can master this work faster than any generation before us. Ours is the first generation of Christians to have easy access to multiple translations of the Bible. And endless study helps us understand the ancient words. And then only since 1948 has there been a modern-day Israel modeling so much of the Jewish heritage that shapes both the Old and New Testament. Armed with instant communication tools, we can understand more about the Word of the Bible than any generation in history. So what happens if we don't give attention to the daily nature of the fine-tuning process? Ask a racing team with a missing pit crew. Or play a piano that hasn't been fine-tuned in a while. With a car that can't win. or a piano that can't please, you'll get the message pretty quick. If you want to do your best in the race set before you, the best effort is required, and it'll be needed every day. Fine-tuning is rarely a noisy process, besides the pit crew. The better example is a piano tuner working in solitude, straining in a quiet room to hear the purity of each note. And perhaps one of the most important concepts of fine-tuning. You see, this process requires a bit of time, some space, and a safe place for reflection. Before returning to Egypt for the second half, Moses was fine-tuned with 40 years of a sabbatical. In reality, he probably had no idea God was doing that for those 40 years. But it prepared him for the last and most important season of his life. Jesus often withdrew to the quiet places for the specific purpose of prayer and reflection. Paul took 3 years to reflect upon a new theology after his salvation experience in Damascus. More than likely, with such examples laying before us in Scripture, you'll need some time in solitude too. Now, we get hit from all sides a lot of times, and we ask ourselves the questions, you know, what have I done wrong? What's going on? You know, Lord. And we may get up on our knees and we may be screaming in the car or just crying in our bedroom. But a lot of times, it has nothing to do with what you did wrong. It has a lot to do with just coming closer to Him. Because He has never forsaken you. He has never forgotten you. That's His promise. But the enemy tries to come in and makes us short-sighted. Or tells us that we don't measure up. But if we position ourselves and come into the right perspective of who Jesus is, then He's already set us up to win, to overcome. He's overcame everything already. And He is not a guy, a good God, that should lie. We're sitting here because each and every one of us are an overcomer. Each and every one of us has overcame something to get here right now. But the short-sightedness that comes in is that it's not enough. When the wave comes and knocks you down, that, you know, I haven't been healed in so long. But my God is a healer. I said, no one's ever talked to me or comforted me in a whole long time, but my God is a comforter. And most of all, my God is a redeemer. And that's where we stand today. So how do we see the unseen? We sit low and look high to the one who sits high and looks low. And we partake freely in His grace. There's nothing we can do to earn that grace. It's already ours. And that grace transforms. And that transformation is the redemptive power of Christ who died for us on the cross. Paul says the reason we keep going, the reason we keep moving forward, even though we get trials every once in a while, is because we believe the gospel message. We believe there is life beyond this one. We believe Jesus died and rose again. And those of us who put trust in Him, those of us who rely on Him, will live even though we die. We keep moving forward in confidence. We are not moving forward alone. For He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. We move forward believing that promise that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We move forward believing that God is working in all things, even the painful things. We move forward because we have the perspective of eternity. When we're driving in a snowstorm, the lines of the roads are unclear. You slowly move forward in fear because you're just not sure and are intently looking down, straining to see. But what happens if we see a snowplow taillights right ahead of us? We change our focus. You're no longer looking intently at the ground in front of you, but you lift your eyes and follow the lights in front of you. The little things that change our perspective, the little things that will shift us of how we're looking, our earthly perspective is always going to try to get us in trouble. It just does. It's a constant fight. And that's why it's a constant renewal of focus. It's a constant quiet time. Now, Steve has asked us to be in the portal. He's asked us to wait and see, and that's how we are right now in church. But that's how we should be anyway in life. So, once again, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. That right there is pretty powerful. That right there can get us through something. Amen. And we've all been it. We're all going to be going through it. But if we stand on it, like we should, and we remember, and we're not perfect, guys. We're going to forget to fine-tune every now and then, and we're going to become a little bit blurred. But it's that little check that we need to be listening to and say, hey, wait a minute, that's not really what me. I don't really sound like that. I need to move back into focus. I'm going to lock myself in my room. I'm going to go take a drive. I'm going to go take a sabbatical. I'm going to get refocused because I want to hear what God has for me. Because I'll tell you what, this second half of your life is going to be the best of your life because God has something happening here. I just really feel like we all need to change focus. We all need to fine tune. No matter how much time we spend praying for others and intercessor or doing everything else, this is personal between you and God. And sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to do. It'll be personal. We love praying for other people. We love giving. But sometimes it's so hard for us to receive. We get prayer and we don't know what to say. We don't know where to look. We don't know what's going on because it's really hard to go through. So I just want everyone to stand up. And I just want to pray for all of you right now, right here. We ask the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, you are needed here. You are needed here to change the focus of our lives, Lord, and our perspective. That as we sit low and look high and expect high, that you meet us. So maybe we were going a little to the left, Lord. We ask you to fine-tune us back to the right. And maybe we're falling a little south, and we ask you to help us up a little north, Lord. We ask that the Holy Spirit come and increase in us and through us. And we have the revelation of who you are in us. That whatever we're going through, you've already overcome it. And Lord, you said that we never have to be in it, we just have to walk through it. So we focus on the other side. We focus on the things that are unseen. We focus on the tree of life. It was right in the middle of the garden. And you're right in the middle of our hearts. So we ask you today that no one here leaves unfocused. No one here leaves unchanged. And we just pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We have a prayer team. I know the Santos are sick, but if we can get the other ones here. Like I said, if we come into agreement as a family here, if you're going through something and need help refocusing, that's what these people are here for. To help you refocus. So we ask that if you do, come forward. Yeah, the rest of you can go and have a blessed day. Amen.